Right, good morning, and welcome, and Merry Christmas. I wrote welcome here on this glorious Christmas morning, hoping for sunshine, but I think regardless of the weather, this is a morning that glows with love and rejoicing at the Christ who is born. But before we greet one another and move throughout the service, I just wanted to say a word explaining why this service looks the way that it does. Last week, I sat in my office contemplating how I should organize today's service as I was chiding myself for having never attended church on Christmas Day. So thanks for getting me up in here. But as I looked through past bulletins and I determined what to keep the same and what to mix up, I remembered an Instagram post I saw at the beginning of the Advent season by author Sarah Bessie. In it, she wrote how the Carmelite Order of Nuns used the themes of waiting, accepting, journeying, and birthing instead of hope, peace, joy, and love. There is a realness and a rawness to narrating the Advent season this way. Hope becomes juxtaposed with the boredom and frustration of waiting. Peace meets the difficulty of swallowing unwanted realities. Joy is placed beside the hardness and exhaustion of journey, and love becomes the pain and mess of birth. To help draw out the complexity and nuance that lingers within Advent and within our lives, I placed poetry beside each scripture. Some poems you might understand easily and immediately, some you may need to take home and read over and over, and some may never make sense. And that is okay. Listen to the rhythm and the cadence, and let yourself be drawn into the mystery of this day and of our very lives. But before we become too serious and contemplative, let's make some glorious noise by rising and greeting one another, and then stay standing, and we'll turn to number 665 in the blue hymnal for our call to worship. All right, if you could stand and turn to number 665 in the blue hymnal. And I will, if you can read the bold print, that would be great. Glory to God in the highest. Today a Savior is born to us, Christ the Lord. Let all the earth rejoice in God's great gift.
Good morning again. Oh my goodness, this looks so much better. because you some were there, all this room in between. I said, you can't sing like that. And if you looked in your bulletin, you see that we're singing a lot today. So, and you have to really sing out because we're not that many. But for those of you who were here yesterday, we sang a lot, and the people that I talked to just all felt it just sounded wonderful with having people singing there. It just surrounded us, so it was really quite nice. So we're hoping that this will happen this morning again. So number 208, please. And we'll sing the first two verses.
Yes, John Weens and I thought we should sing the third verse since now we had a little better sense of the song. It's all right. It's good to be here on Christmas morning. We're glad we arrived here because when we started the car up this morning, I noted that the charge light came on, and that was a first. So if somebody has diagnostic tools here after church, we can confirm whether my alternator is not functioning. And then we're going to hope to make it home, too. So that was our Christmas gift this morning. What was yours? Something better, I hope. But grateful that we're here. And I was thinking about how Christmas morning is kind of the aftermath of the gift giving, right? And so many people are not able to be here because the aftermath has either been so good or so bad that this doesn't fit in. And we live in the aftermath of God's tremendous gift to humanity. The life of Jesus, given for us and given as a demonstration of how to be as human beings and of how to respond to God. So we're going to keep on celebrating that. Let's pray. Our generous God, on this Christmas morning, we come to you with gratitude and praise. Praise that you are a God that takes humanity's plight seriously and wants to work with us to create a better humanity, to bring your rule and your desires into this earth. We're grateful that you have given us the opportunity to respond to the call to follow Jesus. And as we continue on in the service, we pray that our sense would be drawn to that as we think about the event of the birth of Jesus. And we give you thanks for that and pray those things in the name of Jesus. Amen.
So the next song we'll sing is number 201. It's Hark the Herald Angels Sing. And I kind of thought, because we're singing so many songs, I'm going to keep it to two verses to each song. So we'll sing verse 1 and 2, and we'll kind of go through all the songs in that manner.
The angel said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child will be born with will be holy. He will be called the Son of God. And now your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son, and is in 6th month for her who is said to be barren, for nothing will be impossible with God." Then Mary said, "Here I am, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word." And then the angel departed from her. In those days, Mary set out and went with haste to Judea, the town in the hill country, where she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth had heard Mary's greeting, the child leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit and exclaimed with a loud cry, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why has this happened to me, that the mother of my Lord comes to me? For as soon as I heard the sound of your greeting, the child in my womb leaped for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her by the Lord."
In the poem Annunciation, Denise Levertov, a 20th century British-American poet, uses her clear and accessible voice to share the experience of Mary, the mother of Jesus. This first segment of four highlights both common misinterpretations of Mary and the profound agency given to her. Annunciation. We know the scene. The room, variously furnished, almost always a lectern, a book, always the tall lily. Arrived on the solemn grandeur of wings, the angelic ambassador, standing or hovering, whom she acknowledges, a guest. But we are told of meek obedience. No one mentions courage. The engendering spirit did not enter her without consent. God waited. She was free to accept or to refuse, choice integral to humanness.
This next song is, it's new to me, and I think it might be to many of you, but the words are beautiful, and the melody is beautiful. So I'm going to ask Trudy to play it through once, and then we will sing verse 1 and verse 5.
Thank you. 5.
Now, the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, took place in this way. When his mother, Mary, had been engaged to Joseph, but before they lived together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. Her husband, Joseph, being a righteous man and unwilling to expose her to public disgrace, planned to dismiss her quietly. But just when he had resolved to do this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what had been spoken by the Lord through the prophet. "Look, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall name him Emmanuel, which means God with us." When Joseph awoke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took her as his wife, but had no marital relations with her until she had borne a son, and they named him Jesus.
Joseph. Joseph was penned by the anonymous Sandy S. and was found in the blog As I Live Sent Daily by Jason C. Dukes, a church planter, father of six, and pastor in northeast Mississippi. Joseph narrates the life of Joseph of Nazareth as one of call and response, while subtly linking him to Joseph, the son of Jacob and Rachel. Joseph. 4 times the common laborer laid down to rest, to seek the ordinary solace of night, only to be astonished in sleep by the arrival of power, an advent, the dream voice beyond all voices, speaking into his life with easy authority. Forget convention and marry the overshadowed girl. Forget plans to flee, forget plans and flee to a place as alien and angular as its monuments. Forget your fears and journey again through the desert to the occupied country of your father. Forget home and settle instead in the land of prophecy. 4 times he saw what? A blazing messenger, an otherworldly prince of light. 4 times he heard what? Words of thunder quaking the solid ground on which he lived. Who knows so clearly what he truly dreams? Who trusts so deeply the strange revelations of his own inner landscape? Who acts so boldly on what he knows in himself against the evidence of everything he sees? Who believes so humbly that he is chosen too for a role that makes miracles possible? This one did, 4 times.
So if you'll turn to number 197, and we'll sing verse 1 and verse 4. I'm going to ask you to stand again if you can, because to me, you can't sing this song sitting down.
In those days, a decree went out from the Emperor Augustus that all in the world should be registered. This was the first registration that was taken while Quirinius was governor of Syria. All went to their own towns to be registered. Joseph also went from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to the city of David called Bethlehem, because he was descended from the house and family of David. He went to be registered with his wife Mary, to whom he was engaged and who was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for her to deliver her child.
T.S. Eliot's The Journey of the Magi narrates the story of the Magi as the story of those transformed in the meeting of Jesus, from cradle to grave. Written shortly after his conversion to Anglo-Catholicism, The Journey of the Magi works through feelings of powerlessness and change with vivid imagery, striking repetition, and tight language. Journey of the Magi. A cold coming we had of it. Just the worst time of year for a journey, and such a long journey. The ways deep and the weather sharp, the very dead of winter. And the camels galled, sore-footed, refractory, lying down in the melting snow. There were times we regretted the summer palaces on slopes, the terraces, and the silken girls bringing sherbet. Then the camelmen cursing and grumbling and running away and wanting their liquor and women, and the night fires going out, and the lack of shelters, and the cities hostile and the towns unfriendly, and the villages dirty and charging high prices. A hard time we had of it. At the end, we preferred to travel all night, sleeping in snatches, with the voices singing in our ears saying that this was all folly. Then, at dawn, we came down to a temperate valley, wet, below the snow line, smelling of vegetation, with a running stream and a watermill beating the darkness, and three trees on the low sky, and an old white horse galloped away in the meadow. Then we came to a tavern with vine leaves over the lintel, six hands at an open door dicing for pieces of silver, and feet kicking the empty wineskins. But there was no information, and so we continued, and arrived at evening, not a moment too soon. Finding the place, it was, you may say, satisfactory. All this was a long time ago, I remember, and I would do it again, but set down, this, were we led all that way for birth or death? There was a birth, certainly. We had evidence and no doubt. I had seen birth and death, but had thought they were different. This birth was hard and bitter agony for us, like death, our death. We returned to our places, these kingdoms, but no longer at ease here in the old dispensation, with an alien people clutching their gods. I should be glad of another death.
Number 191, the little town of Bethlehem, and we'll sing verse 1 and 4.
The next reading is from Luke chapter 2, verses 7 to 20. And she gave birth to her firstborn son, and wrapped him in bands of cloth, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. In that region there were shepherds living in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. Then an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for see, I am bringing you good news of great joy for all the people. To you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is the Messiah, the Lord. There will be a sign for you. You will find a child wrapped in bands of cloth, and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace among those whom he favors." When the angel had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go now to Bethlehem and see this thing that has taken place, which the Lord has made known to us." So they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the child lying in the manger. When they saw this, they made known what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured all of these words and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, as it had been told to them.
My poem is called Christmas, and it was written by Wanda Neufeld. Written by the congregation member, Wanda Neufeld, is a reminder that transformation is something we must choose to open ourselves to over and over again, even when the wonder seems to be gone. I kind of hope that Wanda would be here. I think it is just very impressive and amazing. What can you say about Christmas that hasn't already been said? What can you write about Christmas that hasn't already been read? We all know the Bethlehem story, how Mary gave birth to her child. To this little stable came Jesus, God's Son, pure, undefiled. We know of the chorus of angels telling shepherds the wonderful news, of kings from a far-off country bringing gifts to the King of the Jews. We know this because we have heard it over and over again. Each year, when we celebrate Christmas, we hear that wondrous refrain, peace and goodwill to the nations, love and compassion for all. As it touches our hearts, we try harder in our way to give head to the call. Once more, we will worship that baby born in that Bethlehem stall. We'll spend time with friends and our families. We'll show love and forgiveness to all. We'll hear those old Christmas carols that seem to ease sorrow and pain. We will know that because of God's mercy, you'll have a blessed Christmas once again.
Number 199, the first Noel. And this time we'll sing verse 1, 2, and 4.
Thank you.
I will be reading Matthew 2, verses 1 to 12. The Magi visit the Messiah. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Messiah was to be born. "In Bethlehem in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel." Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me so that I too may go and worship him." After they heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen when it rose went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route.
The 1995 song written by local celebrity Steve Bell and Anglican priest Jamie Howison of St. Benedict's Table names the reality of being changed upon encountering the living God. Its line, "I can't go back the way I've known," informed and inspired the liturgy writing for this Advent season. Home again, old sage. I remember how it started still. Those days that I remember well, it was something in the stars that was new enough to tell there was something going down. So we set off for a foreign land with no idea what we just might find. Because when you're following a star, you have to walk at night. It sounds crazy even now. And still, the search goes on for my way back home. I can't go back the way I've known. And now the road for me has changed. Nothing seems to look the same. Don't get me wrong, I'm not complaining. And every star along the way holds the promise for the day when I will be home again. Some tell me I'm a wise man, a kind of sage, you know, it makes me laugh. I don't know what I'm not, barely know what I am, but if you know what I mean. But everybody can remember when they had to stop and start all over again. It was something about that boy in Bethlehem. I will never be the same.
Okay, if the kids want to come up, I have a story. Good morning, Jacob. A few more. Now we're just going to wait so that the grown-ups can see the pictures too. Hi. Merry Christmas. Hi. Merry Christmas. Does it turn? The green light's on. Did you all catch that? That was the book. So I was actually a little worried this year about what I would do for Christmas, but then I ended up going back to work, and so I could borrow. This is one of my favorite Christmas books. It's called Room for a Little One, and it's courtesy of Dawnwood School. It was a cold winter's night. Kind Ox lay in his stable, close to the side of the inn. Old Dog came by. He stopped and looked into the stable. "I need somewhere to rest," said Old Dog. "Come inside," Kind Ox said. "There's always room for a little one here." Old Dog came in and lay down in the straw. He nestled close to Kind Ox, sharing the warmth of his stable. Stray Cat peered in. She saw Old Dog and she stopped. Stray Cat arched her back and her fur bristled. "I'll not chase you," said Old Dog. "Come inside," Kind Ox said. "There's always room for a little one here." Stray Cat came into the stable. She curled up in the straw, close to the friend she had found, purring and twitching her tail. Small Mouse stopped at the door of the stable. She saw Stray Cat and quivered with fear. "You're safe here. I won't harm you," said Stray Cat. "Come inside," Kind Ox said. "There's always room for a little one here." Small Mouse scurried in. She nestled down warm in the straw in the peace of the stable. Then Tired Donkey came. Joseph led him along. Mary rode on Tired Donkey's back. Joseph was cold, and Mary was weary, but there was no room at the inn. "Where will my baby be born?" Mary asked. "Come inside," Kind Ox called to Tired Donkey. "There's always room for a little one here." Tired Donkey brought Mary into the stable. Joseph made her a warm bed in the straw to save her from the cold of the night. And so, Jesus was born with the animals around him. Kind Ox, Old Dog, Stray Cat, Small Mouse, and Tired Donkey all welcomed him to the warmth of their stable. That cold winter's night, beneath the stars' light, a little one came for the world. Thank you. You guys can go back to your moms and dads.
Number 210, Good Christian Friends Rejoice, and we'll sing verse 1 and 2. Good Christian friends rejoice.
Good.
First reading will be from Isaiah chapter 52, verses 7 to 10. How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of the messenger who announces peace, who brings good news, who announces salvation, who says to Zion, "Your God reigns." Listen, your sentinels lift up their voices. Together they sing for joy, for in plain sight they see the return of the Lord to Zion. Break forth together into singing, you ruins of Jerusalem, for the Lord has comforted his people. He has redeemed Jerusalem. The Lord has bared his holy arm before the eyes of all the nations, and all the ends of the earth shall see the salvation of our God. And now, John chapter 1, verses 1 to 14. The Word become flesh. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and without him not one thing came into being. What has come into being in him was life, and the life was the light of all the people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. There was a man sent from God, whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify to the light, so that all might believe through him. He himself was not the light, but he came to testify to the light. The true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world came into being through him. Yet the world did not know him. He came to what was his own, and his own people did not accept him. But to all who received him, who believed in his name, he gave power to become children of God, who were born not of blood or of the will of the flesh or of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and lived among us, and we have seen his glory, the glory as of a Father's only Son, full of grace and truth.
Ring Out Wild Bells is a segment from Alfred Lord Tennyson's In Memoriam, AAH, written over 17 years as he processed the sudden and early death of his beloved friend Halum. In Memoriam runs the gauntlet of emotions of grief brings. At this point, lyric 106 of 131 lyrics, or separate poems, Tennyson is reaching the point of hope and healing brought in the Christmas season. Ring out, wild bells, to the wild sky, the flying cloud, the frosty light. The year is dying in the night. Ring out, wild bells, and let him die. Ring out the old, ring in the new. Ring, happy bells, across the snow. The year is going, let him go. Ring out the false, ring in the true. Ring out the grief that saps the mind. For those that here we see no more, ring out the feud of rich and poor. Ring in redress to all mankind. Ring out a slowly dying cause and ancient forms of party strife. Ring in the nobler modes of life with sweeter manners, purer laws. Ring out the want, the care, the sin, the faithless coldness of the times. Ring out my mournful rhymes, but ring the fuller minstrel in. Ring out false pride in place and blood, the civic slander and the spite. Ring in the love of truth and right. Ring in the common love of good. Ring out old shapes of foul disease. Ring out the narrowing lust of gold. Ring out the thousand wars of old. Ring in the thousand years of peace. Ring in the valiant man and free, the larger heart, the kindlier hand. Ring out the darkness of the land. Ring in the Christ that is to be.
Joy to the World. We'll sing verses 1 and 4, and I'm going to do the same thing that I do when I'm with the mission choir. I'm going to go smile. It's Christmas. You can't sing these songs and just read them and sing them. You have to smile and show your faces. I'm going to see that.
Stand for the sending, and I suspect remain standing for the final song, if you are able. As you go forth into the gloriousness of this Christmas day, may the Lord of peace, the God who became human, the Spirit who is always with you, bring comfort and joy, satisfaction and kindness, and a love that bursts forth from you and extends to the world. Go in peace, live in peace. Merry Christmas.
I know this is a tradition that we've had for many years in this church, and we sing the Friedensfest on Christmas. And those of you that would like to come up and join me here, I'd be happy to have you. I have the music here, and so please come and join me up here. Oh, you have your own there? Yeah, mine is too. Do you need a copy? Yes, all the repeats. So we have a choir. So for those of you who maybe don't know, but the song is filled with repeats. So I don't know. Do you feel comfortable singing the first one, and then the congregation sings the second time?
Sure.
Yeah. All right. Then that's what we're going to do. So we will sing the first time, and then when we come to the second part, you'll see those little. Never mind. I will just show you. Then you just sing all together. Yes. All right. Let's begin.
Thank you.
Christmas.